Good morning, Harmony. Why don't you rise in body and spirit, and we're going to worship this morning. Feel free to clap, sing along.
Hallelujah.
Song, I always offer that since it's a more introspective worship song, if you would like to sit down, you're more than welcome to do so. If you want to remain standing in worship, please do that.
Lay down your burdens, lay down your pride, rest in that Jesus provides. Come all you weary, broken inside, lay down your burdens, lay down. Your voice.
Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this day, for the presence of people who love you in this room. We ask that you continue to guide us, to walk beside us, and make everything very clear so that we are living a life that is pleasing to you, God. It is in your precious and holy Son's name that we pray this. Amen.
Yes, Harmony, let's give thanks to Melinda and that phenomenal worship band. Amen, yes. So good morning, everyone. Did that extra hour of rest go well for you last night? I hope so. I'm Pastor Mark, and I'm part of this wonderfully affirming, proudly progressive, and wildly loving faith community. And it is a blessing to connect with you in person, as well as those who are connecting with us via the live stream. And we give praise and lift our hallelujahs to the divine creator of us all and each one being made in the beloved image of God. And we give thanks for that. Today, Harmony marks the occasion of what is known as All Saints Sunday, also known as All Souls Day. And it's a sometimes overlooked holy day in the United Methodist congregations. And this is a day of remembrance. And it's a remembrance of the saints. And later in the worship service today, we will give thanks for all those who have gone before us in faith, gone on to glory. Also, I want to make mention of Compassion Bears. We have Compassion Bears, our annual thing that we love to do. And we decorate those, and at the end of the month, we'll be collecting them. And these are for the children, the pediatric AIDS clinic at LEC County Hospital. Also, I want to make mention of what you have already found. In your chairs, you will have found pens and paper there in the chairs. Well, this is going to come into play later as well, in which we are going to be led in something that we're calling the naming of our losses. Naming of our losses, that which we've experienced since the global pandemic began in early 2020. And for those connecting online, you too can join us in this and participate in this moment. And it's going to be right after the sermon, which reminds me that we want to welcome our guest speaker for today, the Reverend Dr. Galen Gobin. And he is going to share the message with us. And Dr. Gobin is the Grief Support Director for Forest Lawn. And he's been doing this in this position since 2007. And folks, yes, that's right. I have got to say that I have found Dr. Gobin to be a marvelous human being. He is just compassionate and full of mercy and grace and love, and we are abundantly blessed to have him here with us. And we look forward to receiving your hope-filled message this morning. And as always, we want to express gratitude to those who are participating in Harmony's worship service today, in addition to Melinda and the worship band, as well as Dr. Gobin. We are appreciative for today's participation of the Reverend Jefferson Beaker, Jewel DeGuzman, Jason Blackwell, and also I want to give a shout out to our Harmony Kids volunteers as well, and now the Reverend Dave Bungie, who is going to lead us in what we now are calling the Children's Moment.
Hey! Today is the first Sunday of in-person. We've been doing, the nursery has been in-person for a month, as you know. The 3 to 13-year-olds we've been doing online, and today we're here. So hallelujah. As he said, I'm known as Rev. Dave Bungie. Also, I'm a grandfather, and my nickname to five of these kids here is Opa. So you may hear that around. It's an endearing term. So, kids, welcome. You see, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them in the middle of the sanctuary here. If you're brave enough, wave your hand. Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. After just a couple of moments, Mr. Eric and Kendall Joy will meet you at the back door there to lead you to the fellowship hall. And I just want to say today's lesson is it's going to be about how much Jesus loves you as children, because you're children. And in fact, he says, as we'll hear a little bit later, he says we adults need to take on childlike qualities in order to know the fullness and richness that life has to offer. So you're really special in God's eyes, and we want to affirm that in all kinds of ways. So to send them out, I would like to invite the congregation to help me in a prayer of blessing for these kids. If you would repeat after me, the adults in the room, to the you can kind of spot where some of the kids are here. Repeat after me, Jesus loves you. We love you.
We love you.
May God bless your Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Follow Mr. Eric and Kendall Joy out that door right where Mr. Jace is standing, and we will have some good times over here. All right.
Thank you, Pastor Dave and Harmony Kids. I'm Jolde Guzman. Good morning, everyone. And I just wanted to talk to you today about something we call the Joy Box. Before I get to that, I just wanted to say that, I don't know about you, but after Halloween, it seems that everyone just kind of shifted to December and Christmas. But I'm thinking, wait, what about November and Thanksgiving? And so just in the spirit of gratitude, in the spirit of thinking about Thanksgiving coming up, I just wanted to say that I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for everything that we stand for and we stand against. And just thinking about all the different programs that we've been able to start up since this church opened, and the resilience that we've seen throughout the global pandemic. Just so thankful to be here and to have this community. With that said, that there's so many programs to participate in, so many efforts to put your volunteer and your time and your financial gifts towards. And so with that, I just want to say that there's so many different ways to give to the church. You can give by scanning a QR code, you can give by text, you can give online and in person through mail. And all that we ask is that when you give, you just give with joy. Thank you.
As we move with one another into a time of prayer, I would like to invite you to get comfortable where you are seated, to close your eyes if you're comfortable with that, or just allow your gaze to move downward in soft focus, and breathe. Breathe in this wonderful, precious moment that we have been blessed by God to have, the breath of life. Let us pray. Loving Creator God, our source of strength, comfort, peace, and grace, on this All Saints' Day, we take time to pause and to remember the beautiful saints that have shaped our lives, taught us how to endure with courage and faith, and who still guide us forward today as we remember them. We recall their words and their actions that helped form our very being. And we give thanksgiving that we have had and still have them in our lives through the beautiful memories that are stored within us. As ambassadors and representatives of their legacies, we wear that mantle proudly and with honor. These last many months of pandemic have now shaped our lives in ways that will continue to unfold and to become more known to us as we move forward. We each have experienced this trauma in different ways. Careers have been altered. Relationships may have been fractured. Finances may have been depleted. Living conditions may have changed. But through it all, God, we acknowledge that you have walked this journey with us. As we mourn our losses, may we take time to stop and reflect not solely on what we lost, but also on what we have learned. We acknowledge that we have been changed and that we can decide now how to use that change going forward for good, for growth, for new discovery. We rest in the warm embrace of knowing that you have never been, nor can we be, forsaken by you. We may have walked, or perhaps are still walking, through the darkest valley, but we remember that Scripture reminds us again and again to fear not. For you, God, are now and always with us, experiencing what we experience. You hurt with us, weep with us, grieve with us, just as you also experience with us our joys, our accomplishments, and our dreams. So may we each proclaim this day to be a new beginning, a blessed time in which we reaffirm our faith as we consciously enter again into that healing heavenly light, that light of unconditional love, grace, and resurrection to a new and restored life. Taking the lessons of yesterday, may we see clearly into our bright tomorrows. As we walk forward in faith, we do so humbly and with gratitude. With each new step we take, we allow the journey of our soul to find its completion in your presence within us. Together we pray. Together we know of your love. And together we say, Amen.
Thank you, Rev. Jefferson. Friends, on this first Sunday of November, which is All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have gone before us since the global pandemic. It's important that we remember these individuals, especially in regards to the positive impact that they have had on our lives and how they encouraged us to be who God created us to be. We remember and give thanks. And as we proceed in this moment of remembrance, Melinda will bless us with a song. And as she sings, a scrolling of names will be shown on the screen. And these are names of loved ones, family, friends, colleagues, now among the cloud of witnesses. And we also lift up those who are unnamed, who are in our hearts and our minds on this day. For those who are connecting online, please add in the chat box the names whom you wish to remember who now live and reign with the Holy One. Let us pray. We ask our divine Creator to bless the memories of your saints, and may we learn how to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. And as they have shared the living gospel with us, may we add our voices so others may hear about your affirming grace and compassion, the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Beyond the door, there's peace, I'm sure, and I know there'll be no more tears in heaven.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. The translation is from the Common English Bible. On this mountain, the Lord of heavenly forces will prepare for all people a rich feast, a feast of choice wines, of select foods rich in flavor, of choice wines well refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the veil that is veiling all peoples, the shroud enshrouding all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe tears from every face. He will remove his people's disgrace from off the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. They will say on that day, look, this is our God for whom we have waited, and he has saved us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let's be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Oh, that's right. I don't need to turn that on. Thank you. That was stunning and beautiful. And let me tell you, it's going to be fun trying to preach now. Going to be interesting. Hello, Neil. How are you? That was literally amazing, those names. My aunt's name came up and it caught me more off guard than I expected to see that name and to remember and to spend a moment with the fact that I did not get to attend her funeral because of COVID. It's been a hard 20 months, hasn't it? 20 plus? Feels like eternity almost. A lot of things have gone on and have happened in these past several months. But most recently, like I think about Halloween last week. Just last week, we played around with the dead and death, Dia de los Muertos and all. And I know that a couple of years ago, you all had 1,000 people who ventured through this place on Halloween as a rest stop, which I think is really cool. What a great idea that is. And yet, for the last 2 years, nothing. Couldn't be risk. It's really hard. Did you hear about the news this week when they said that now we are almost to 750,000 people who have died of this disease that so many people just kind of keep thrown off as nothing? 750,000 in America out of 5 million. That is a huge portion of that. Anyone here know anyone? Yeah. Yeah, you see those pictures of the flags on the mall, and it's just almost, it's a sea of white. It's almost incomprehensible. All these beautiful people here, we remembered this last week on All Souls Day. That was actually Tuesday of this week. If we followed the Christian calendar, it would have been Tuesday. And here then this Sunday, this morning, we are celebrating that. We are honoring that. We are lifting that up and remembering that. And what a beautiful set of love and lessons and memories. And because their name is listed there, there is an awful lot of sorrow and pain with that as well. And this list is not comprehensive. It doesn't include all of the relationships that we lost, as some of us lost precious pets this past year as well. Just here's some more. I love two or three of you had said how good it is to be back together, and today was the first day really with the kids and stuff, and that feels really, really good. It's a little bit more back heading towards that sense of normal. Some of us have joined here, and you guys have done a wonderful job with the streaming and to be able to spread this out, this place of love and gratitude to people. But doesn't the room still feel a little strange? You know, there's people that aren't sitting where they normally would be. We can't see the folks who are streaming this. And even if we could, it wouldn't be the same without their presence here, their warmth, their body. Some of these people that now can get in with this, we're here pre-pandemic time, and yet because of circumstances, they've had to move, laid off, furloughed, careers and projects were put on hold. It has been an exile for over a year and a half. And we are sitting on a mountain of loss that just keeps growing. There are more losses, even as we have heard all of these. And as we experience that renewed feeling of a little bit more breathing space, a little bit more normal as the vaccine's progressing and as the death rate's lowering and the hospitalization rate's coming down, and when you watch the news, COVID's about halfway through instead of being the first thing. But boy, you throw in climate change and all the weariness about that. Those worrisome factors that this wave of heat and everything is bringing to us. And there are losses there. And some of the other intimacies that we have lost over these last 20 months. Yeah, we're on a mountain, all right. It's about as big as Everest. It's huge. It's powerful, it's burdensome. It has changed life. And it is still changing our life. And we are not sure how to respond. That sense of one step forward, three back. I don't know, not quite there yet. Don't know what to do. Can I hug you? Can I fist bump? Do I go? It's really, really hard. And so uncertain. The sun keeps coming up every single day. The calendar goes by and it feels like nothing really is changing. And that's difficult. It just keeps moving and moving and moving, and yet what we feel the need to do, because grief does this to us, is the need to slow down. To sit, to wait, to be. Alan Wofelt talks about that grief actually just makes us slow down. And I talk to people about life at 3 miles an hour. And it's so difficult, though, to slow down. So very difficult. We don't know what else to do. Keep going, keep moving, keep flying along. But those needs to attend and to attune to the loss that we have, just the natural stuff that takes the necessities to care for the death of a parent or a beloved pet or a close friend. What we don't know is that all of these other losses that we are aware of that are built up underneath us, this mountain of losses, must be encountered in the exact same way. All of these are losses and griefs just as much as the death of a person we love or a beloved companion. When a dream dies, when a project is torpedoed, when a companion moves away, when the burgeoning energy of a new life-giving community has to flatten out and be moved two-dimensionally, these are all losses, and that loss is incredibly real within our hearts and within our bodies. And our natural responses are the same. And the requirements to address what is going on within us are the same. Sadness, fear, regret, loneliness, anger. Some of the major feelings that we have, sometimes for some of us, it's tears, exhaustion, sleepless nights or long, long afternoon naps to try to just get the energy we need to keep going forward. Which is hard to do when you really don't care, because that sense of apathy comes in, because this loss is so big to me. Those deep soul-cleansing sighs that we find ourselves doing so often. All of these are experiences of grief. And the attention, energy, and recognition that grief takes wearies us. It punctuates our living. Isaiah 25 was written to a people in this exact place. Israel had been a great kingdom, and Babylon had come in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. Jerusalem is devastated. Babylon then did the extra wonderful thing of grabbing up family and friends, all of the really important people it seemed in the city, and hauling them back to Nineveh. The landscape around Jerusalem had been massacred. And there are no resources to rebuild. There isn't much that one has or many other people to be able to come back together again and to start over. And after all, what we had been, oh well, what's the point? It is into this place of desolation, of devastation, of emptiness, that the prophet Isaiah brings a word today. Hear again, in this context, what the prophet says. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. This is an amazing banquet. Imagine, if you will, the rich food. So let's grab Paula Deen, Wolfgang Puck, Reed Drummond, and any other chef that you can think of who's going to put the menu together and cook it. Yeah, my arteries are filling up already. It is a rich, rich banquet. And the wines flow freely. In my case, a beautiful, well-aged Malbec, or maybe a rich, buttery Chardonnay. Pair those together, how wonderful. And this is a banquet. This is a banquet. You can have a banquet room, and people, one person can come in and be in a banquet room, but you cannot have a banquet with one person. This is a banquet of everyone together. All nations, all people. That's the guest list. Everybody come into this room. No masks required, no vaccinations, no proof of it. Come on in. Why is that? Because God is the owner of this banquet hall. God is the chef. God is the maitre d'. And God is the wait staff. God is the one who fills this room with people, with food, with hope, and with joy. And God is the decorator and the designer of this banquet hall. And God has walked into this hall and taken the shroud of death that has blanketed everything and destroyed it. Not even just folded it up and put it away. No, no. It is gone, destroyed, over, done, finished, final. Tears and disgrace are wiped away. And it is here on this mountain, this mountain on which we find ourselves, this Everest of grief, it is a mountain transformed from sorrow, loss, and destruction to life and hope and gratitude. This happens when we participate with God, participate in this transformative work of grief. Grief is the God-given way of taking our love and our losses and transforming it. We grieve. We process the pain. We move through it. And as we do that, we create a space within ourselves where something new, something possible, God's vision, God's hope has room to grow. Grieving, we join with the Spirit of God, moving through and healing the world, because when we grieve, we release bitterness and estrangement and emancipate the energies needed to adjust to our new life in tune with what God's vision of wholeness and life is to be. And man, I wish I could tell you that grief, you set up, you kind of figure it out, and you go, okay, and you do your grief, and it's over with. But that ain't the case. Grief is a day-by-day experience. Naming our losses and sorrows, accepting their place in our life in this time, we acknowledge the disruption of this last year and a half. We acknowledge the disruption of our life with whatever the loss is. And in these actions, we don't escape the pain. We don't put it aside. We're not completely free from it. But neither do we give in to it so that we are absolutely destroyed. We are made new. And so in our grief, we wait with it. We wait with our grief here on this mountain, but oh, brothers and sisters, we are not alone. Because we are with our God who is present with us. We wait, receiving the comfort we long for. And God is trustworthy to bring the comfort we need. Isaiah verse 9, it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for God so that God might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in God's salvation. That's hard to do. Waiting is very hard to do. And when you hear that word, you think about, okay, well, I'll just sit here and wait and have something change. But it's not that way either. That waiting is very active and participatory. And it is filled with the things that we do to mourn. Mourning is that public expression of the deep loss within inside of us. And we humans have a need to mourn. We have been mourning since we were scratching pictures on cave walls. We share in those public activities that express and externalize the grief inside. Through movement and joining in with the community, together we identify and name our collective losses and sorrows. Together, we climb this mountain, supporting and safeguarding one another on our journey, building our common resilience. So Mark told you about these pieces of paper and the pens that are with you. We have prepared you for this. I invite you to pick up this piece of paper and in the next few moments and or minutes, whenever you're ready, write on this paper the losses. You may not have enough room. There's a couple of pages there, pieces there. Or just write one or two. That's up to you. But write down your losses. Name the events, the identities, the pets, the people, the progress that you have had to give up over these past 20 months. Because writing them down externalizes them, gets them out, gives them their due and their sorrow as well. And then as we begin communion, we're going to do things a little different today. When you are ready, stand, go down the aisle, and swing by the prayer wall. It is waiting to hold all of our loss as we let go and release it, tucking this in there, giving it to the community. And I invite those of you who are streaming with us to pick up a piece of paper and fold it after you have written on it, mail it in, send in an email, a text, I don't know, put it in. But the one you have at home, put it in a sacred space, a space that is yours and God's, releasing that loss to the one who waits with us, to the one who makes hope out of emptiness. So you'll walk by the prayer wall over there, you'll tuck it in, and then you'll come on up here and pick up your communion packet. It's kind of strange to say that. Once again, something we have to do different. Picking it up, returning to your seat, where we will be the body of Christ together at the table in the upper room. Then together we will join in this life-giving banquet with the Lord among us. It is a feast of bread and cup that feeds, connects, heals, unites, and empowers us. On this mountain, God has prepared a feast. Come to the feast. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered in the upper room with his disciples, his closest friends. And there at the table, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks for it. And then he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." After supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it. And then he gave it to them. And he said, "Each one of you, drink of this cup, for it holds my life poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this, eat of the bread and drink of the cup, remember me." Would you pray with me? Loving God, you have given us a feast of life, joy, of hope, of contentment. You have given us a way of moving through our sorrow and our loss. We are so grateful that you walk with us all the way through. Through this cup, heal us. By your bread, feed us, fill us. And in this meal together, as we are gathered, make us one in Christ our Lord. In whose name we pray. Amen.